Father, we just thank you that we can gather in your precious name.
Yes.
And Lord, we want to look at another prayer in the Bible today. And there's so much to learn from your word wherever we are, and we just praise you for it. And then, Lord, help us to apply and help us to pray aright as we are led by your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
So lead us now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. This morning we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 37, and it's the prayer of King Hezekiah. It's a prayer of deliverance. It's a prayer of great danger. In the 14th year of his reign, Sennacherib, however you like to pronounce it, invaded Judah. Assyria had already taken the northern kingdom of Israel and was now conquering the cities in Judah. And we read that all the cities basically in Judah had been conquered at this point, except Lachish, which was a stronghold, and Jerusalem. And so they were battling, they were sieging Lachish, and they, Sennacherib sent says a great army with Rabshakeh to Jerusalem to threaten them and to attempt to get them to surrender. That was a pretty typical thing that was happening because of the ferocity of the and the cruelty of the Assyrians. Most small cities would just surrender when they heard them coming rather than having them all killed. They'd kill a lot of them anyway, and then they'd stack the skulls, their heads in pyramids outside the gates, and they were known for skinning the leaders alive. But very, very cruel. Kind of reminds us of today in a sense. But Rabshakeh threatened Jerusalem verbally, and Hezekiah had told the people not to say a word, and they didn't. So he eventually left, went back to Lachish, and then there were some threats by an African leader to come against Lachish and against the southern part of Judah. And so Sennacherib was kind of distracted. So he then sent a letter to Hezekiah demanding that he surrender. And so today's prayer is what Hezekiah did with that letter. So whenever you get some extraordinarily bad news, this is a good model prayer to pull out your word and follow it. But I wanted to just begin by singing an old hymn that came to mind. It's the words are on the second page at the bottom. He is able to deliver thee. Is that not a true statement and an understatement?
Amen.
So we've got some accompaniment here, if I can do it right. So he is able to deliver thee. Let us join in singing this. Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. So, in Isaiah 37, and this morning I see the sun, in maybe more than one way, I pray. But Isaiah 37, and so this letter now has been delivered to Hezekiah. And in verse 14, here's what happened. So envision yourself getting this letter. Maybe it's a special delivery. Maybe it's a summons or whatever. And some constable comes and bangs on your door and you get scared to death or whatever. But what do you do? Well, here's what Hezekiah did. In verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers. And notice the first thing he did, he read it. Then he went up to the house of the Lord. So he took the letter to the temple, house of the Lord, and what did he do? He spread it. So he read it, went into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. So there's a good thing right there. He read it, he spread it, he prayed. Oh, that we would do that. Oh, that our leaders would do that. But let's concentrate on us and not so much on our leaders, because we can't control them, but we can control us, can't we, to a degree anyway. So he read it and he spread it before the Lord and he prayed to the Lord. Now notice this address. This is a beautiful address. O Yahweh of hosts, God Elohim of Israel, who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Not a bad address, is it?
Yeah.
I love it.
Kind of gets us out of the picture, doesn't it, a little bit?
Yes.
We look up to the Lord. So that's the address. Now, initially, he says, he's really almost quoting Solomon's dedicatory prayer here in a sense. Incline your ear, O Lord. Hear, open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, or Sennacherib, whom he has sent to reproach the living God. So that's the basis, that's the background of the prayer. And Solomon had said in that dedicatory prayer, whenever Israel and so forth gets in trouble, whenever they run into this, whenever they run into that, may they pray to you and may you hear their prayer. And the kind of the same thing he's saying here. Incline your ear, O Lord, hear, open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Now, we know the Lord hears, we know the Lord sees. He knows every thought you're ever going to make. He knows them before they even enter your mind. So we're not saying this to get his attention, really. I don't believe. I think we're saying this to give ourselves the understanding of who we're praying to, and the fact that we want a prayer that he can see, he can hear, he can see our hearts and sense, and we know he knows, but still, we need to recognize that, it seems to me. And I think in a prayer meeting like that, it's important to keep in mind why we're here and who we're praying to. We're not praying to impress everybody in the room how long we can pray and how big words we can use and all of this. No, we're praying to God. And if we're really led by the Spirit, I think the Spirit leads us in short bursts. You can't even find a prayer in the Bible other than maybe the dedicatory prayer. This good morning, come in. That's very long. So I think we need to keep our eyes focused on who we're praying to and keep the prayers short and really to the point. So he's to the point here. He's saying, truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations of the land. He's just indicating what's already happened, because Assyria was bragging. These other guys haven't been able to save you. Your Jehovah won't be able to save you either. That was the reproach to the living God that they made. So he's mentioning that in his prayer here. That's true, that kings of Assyria had laid waste to all the nations and have cast these nations' gods into the fire. But what? They were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. They weren't gods at all. I mean, they were little gods, but they weren't the God, right? So he's acknowledging that you are not these little gods. And then he goes on. Here's the real prayer in verse 20. Now, therefore, O Yahweh Elohim, or O Lord our God, here's the prayer, save us from Sennacherib's hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that what? That we are your people? No. They know that you are the Lord, you alone. We have the promise in the Word, if we're praying in accordance with His will, He hears us and He will answer us. And it's always good to keep in the back of our mind, we want to pray to glorify Him, we want to pray to exalt Him. And I think it's good in our minds as well when we're praying for something like this, save me, and we want something from the Lord. The best answer and the purest answer that we can really look for or pray for, we want Him, right?
Amen.
I don't want just what the Lord does for me. I want Him. He's everything, right? It's just not that I want, yes, we can live from a crumb from His table if we have Him.
Amen.
So rather than give me this, give me that, give me something else, or make this happen, or make that happen, or whatever, Lord, I just want You. I just want You. And so this was his prayer. Now, was it answered? Well, in verse 21 we read, then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because You have prayed to me. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Talk about the power of prayer. Because you prayed to me is what God is telling Isaiah to tell him. Prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back, whom you have reproached and blasphemed, against whom have raised up your voice and lifted your eyes on high against the Holy One of Israel. So we see here, because of the prayer, Jerusalem was not conquered. And my question to you today, how many souls that are currently lost and waiting to be saved, so to speak, are being moved because of your prayer? How many kings of the earth are really being moved to come to have a fear of the Lord, waiting for your prayer? Well, we don't know. And we don't know what the Lord is going to do, but we're to pray. And so here we are this morning. We got plenty to pray for. While we were gone, of course, we all know we had the Supreme Court decision and all that. I'm kind of excited.
I am too.
We're getting closer to Revelation 19 and 20 and 21. Because we got to go through 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 first, right? And that means, of course, we'll be out of here. But even if that is a little bit later, we're all going to go to the same destination.
Right? Yes.
So I think time is short, and I think if you've ever prayed in your life, now is the time to pray.
Amen.
Don't get involved in wranglings and arguments criticism and all. Just go to the Lord and pray. You've got plenty to pray for. I bet every one of us could name 50 people that we know that don't know the Lord yet. When are they going to come? Our days are getting less because we're getting closer to being with the Lord. Their days are getting less because they're getting closer to coming to judgment. It's coming. And so whether it's ISIS or whether it's Hindu or whether it's Buddhist, whether it's atheist, whether it's a worshiping your dog as your God, or whether it's atheist where I don't have a God, they're in the same boat. Everybody's in the same boat.
Right.
They're going to be toasted. They're going to be judged. Sin's going to be dealt with. We know that. We know the Lord's coming soon. So let's use this time this morning. And let's pray for the church. Let's pray for the persecuted church. That's where the Lord's really moving in a big way right now, by the way. Mm. Let's pray for America, for our church. We are fat and dead, basically, as a country church. Because we haven't had any persecution. We haven't had any rough stuff. Our problem is, well, the temperature's only 76 today. I'd like it 75. And, you know, I would like this light, you know, whatever it is. That we're focusing on all kinds of little meaningless things rather than, where is our heart? Where is our prayer? And so here we are. And you believe this because you're here this morning to pray. Right? Mm-hmm.